Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three here on WEEI Afternoons. On a Tuesday, that means we had our TED Talk at 3:30, but for the first time ever, we have TED Talk Extra. TED Talk After Dark, which is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. If joint pain has you riding the bench, do what TED did. Eliminate your joint pain with Dr. Franke of Boston Prolotherapy, online at bostonprolotherapy.com.
Dr. Al Franke, one of my favorite people on the planet. Great guy, smart, knows what he's talking about. Go see him. His office is in Stoneham. And if he can't help you, it's a free consultation. He will tell you where to go get help. That's the kind of guy he is. So go check him out. He fixed my tennis elbow. Like, it was so painful. Oh, my gosh. I could hardly sleep. And boom, took it away. So He's very good at what he does.
Can he fix your relationship with Mike Vrabel? Because I heard Vrabel calling you out there.
No.
You were the one who brought up the idea that Milton Williams
was a little thin. That's a little thin right there. A little thin.
No, but he was. What was that? What was that we saw right there? And it's in the immediacy of the game and the injuries. But what was that we saw?
Just a lapse of judgment. Yeah, yeah. He knows he's been so good at not showing his real feelings all year.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I mean, I know Vrabel. Let me tell you, the post-game Mike Vrabel, the weekly presser Mike Vrabel is not the Mike Vrabel I know, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to – he's very careful with the media. He's doing a fantastic job, I think. That was one little kind of, you know, I wish I could do that one over again, frustration. But I think – what do you think that little – kind of, I don't know, angst represents? Fitzy, what do you think that little bit of angst from Vrabel tells you that he's thinking at that moment?
He's agitated at the unnecessary. Like, you don't need to be bringing up things to, he doesn't believe in jinxes, Ted, obviously. He just doesn't think that these guys need to be speculating on something like that. Like, just stay positive, because that's what the team's been doing and that's what he's been doing all season.
So he's telling us how to feel. All right, very good. And what do you think, Andy?
I think it was just raw emotion reaction to the game. It's kind of what Fitzy and I were doing. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
Campbell got carted off.
Post-game, you guys were kind of
I was a little more positive than Fitzy. Fitzy was very – and I think
which
a lot
says
of,
something, because – Fitzy's the most positive guy ever.
He tries
to be. So for him to be, you know, kind of down, I think a lot of people were.
I mean, you lost two of your starting offensive linemen, two rookies, two young players.
You played a game that you were up 14-10 after the Marcus Jones pick in a game that you really almost had no business being up in, but the score is the score. Yep. And you gave a team like Cincinnati, who was game for the day and played fearlessly, which bravo to them and good job by Zach Taylor and old man Flacco, you gave them a chance to win the game in the end. Like, the Patriots played with their food far too often. They were just as responsible for that final score as Cincinnati and their game effort was. I mean, when you've got Chase Brown rifling up for 5.5 yards a carry and Tinsley, the fourth receiver, is cooking Gonzo, like, y'all better go back and take a look at the books before you make your debut on Monday Night Football.
Okay. Not great, Bob.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great, Bob.
Not great anybody.
Fitzy was struggling. He was at a loss of words. Vrabel was lashing out.
Yeah.
And regrets what he said. Uh-huh. Fitzy wasn't sure what to say. They both were the same.
Yeah. And what was, man, what else was you were negative? You were negative about, though, the Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray is
underwhelming.
Are you okay? Everything personally going on?
Wellness check aisle. Wellness check aisle Fitzy. Yes,
there we go.
I've been sick for a week, but otherwise, yes, I'm okay.
Okay. So let me tell you what I think.
Yeah.
Is a little bit. And then let me get this other thing out of the way. Does anybody think that maybe the team was before I talk about Vrabel, I just want to make this one point. It was the first time they had any kind of break all season long.
Okay.
So the first time they had, it wasn't a bye, but it was a mini bye.
Right.
I think that kind of threw them off. I think just there's a rhythm to the season. There's, you know, you come in at Monday, you watch the film, you get treatment, and then all of a sudden, you get a couple of days off. Oh, this feels good. You get a little soft.
Rust.
A little rusty. A little doughy.
Wow, got doughy quick.
Yeah. So a little, all of a sudden, I'm going to eat that hamburger. I'm gonna eat that pizza right there. I'm not going to eat two slices. I'm going to eat the whole thing. I'm on a mini bye. I think there's a little bit of just your body's off just a tad when you get a couple days off when you haven't had it for 2.5 months.
Mm. Now, do you think that was real, or is he reading that into the performance?
I'm not using that by to Vrabel. So I'm just making that a separate reason for why the team didn't play as good. Now, here's my thing on Vrabel.
Okay.
You guys mentioned it. He's pissed off, and he's worried that two important guys got hurt.
Right.
That's what he's mad about. And he's telling you he's mad about the injuries when he tells you, why were y'all talking about the injuries? So if you're wondering why he was mad, it was because he's worried about those two guys getting hurt. So that tells you the importance of those guys. Yes, he's projecting.
Yeah, there was a little projecting there.
Which I think Monday he realized, if you just kind of look at, okay, wait a minute. Is Ben Brown, is he a serviceable left guard? I think so, although I did not like how he played in that game. He did not play good in that game. And is Vidarian Lowe, if you look at his Vidarian Lowe, who's going to probably, if we had to project out, probably going to replace Will Campbell. His PFF grade from last year versus Will Campbell's PFF grade this year isn't too dissimilar.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Especially in the run game.
Another reason for me to discount PFF grades.
Okay. All right. Will Campbell, did you see him on that 4th-and-1 goal
play? Oh, I'm not saying he's great.
Okay.
At all. How many penalties has Will Campbell had where he didn't know how to line up? Because Vidarian Lowe had a bunch of those last year.
No,
Had a lineup anywhere last year?
False starting. The first play he has all year. But I'm just telling you, I think Vrabel, Monday, as he thought about it, he's like, okay, it's not going to be as bad. We can weather the storm. And that's why I think he had a total kind of 180 Monday versus what he said right after the game.
And also, I got a million dollar question for you guys. Has the offensive line really been that much better this year, or has Drake May and the play calling of Josh McDaniels been exponentially better?
I think the pass protection has been much better.
Yeah, I do.
I think the run blocking hasn't been great. Almost, I think, close to on par with last year.
The run blocking is
supposed to be the other way around.
Yes, 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 it is.
I was told that was easier.
Right.
Well, we were told that Will Campbell was going to kill people in the ground game, and we might find out if he has short arms and stuff and pass protection, things of that nature.
Yeah.
The other aspect that I think helped Mike Vrabel's mood improve is somewhere overnight, before he talked to Greg Hill and then eventually talked to the main media at 11, he realized that Will Campbell wasn't done for the year. Right, because he said to the podium, I don't think these are going to be season-ending injuries. I think, because I'll tell you, when I saw Will Campbell carted off with a towel over his head and tears in his eyes, I said his season's over. The next thing I was thinking about was surgeries and rehab and PUP, and I think Vrabel found out sometime, those aren't season-ending. They might be back.
I'm not going to get on him. He didn't get carted off the field.
No, he got carted out of the bench area.
But he did cart off with the towel over the face, and I was like, oh, that's a serious injury.
Yeah.
What do we know it's an MCL sprain. Do we know what
That's
degree? Have you heard the degree?
I have not.
Okay, I've had my MCL torn more than any other knee ligament. Okay. They don't operate on torn.
Right.
There's first, second, and third degree. Okay. First degree MCL sprain, you're out for a week, maybe two.
Right.
Second degree, you're out 3 to 4. Third degree, you're out 5 to 7. My guess is he has a third degree, or mm-hmm. else he wouldn't get carted off, right, bro? And so that's what I think it is. And so my guess is he'll be ready for the playoffs. Don't count on him in the regular season. Count on him in the playoffs.
Just real quick on that note, I don't believe he's been hurt very much, if at all, in his career. He's 21 years old. He played, 40 games at LSU, so he basically was on the field his whole. Is it maybe his first experience with a knee, a ligament, a pain that he didn't didn't know how hurt he was? Correct.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
So
yes.
Might that be the reason he thought he was a little more dramatic?
No, no, I don't want to call it because it was he didn't get caught off the field. He
right.
got caught. You know what? And I think if I remember Cincinnati, it's a long walk to the from the field okay. to the locker room. I think the locker room's kind of
yep.
So
yeah,
you gotta go across the street.
I don't even
want to skyline.
I don't even want to act like. You know, but after I said it, now I'm realizing I probably shouldn't have said it, because if I remember correctly, Cincinnati's locker room's far. So, you know what? Give the guy a ride.
Right.
He doesn't need to be walking. So, but it also told me it's not a second degree. It's a third degree.
Okay.
So
either way, it seems like he's coming back. Those are the reports. That was Vrabel's tone. That was sort of the whole thing there. There's a second aspect we need to talk about from this game. We touched on it yesterday. Stiz, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you can grab the audio, let me know when it's ready. Drake May's answer that we played multiple times in terms of that's the last time that's going to happen, boys. It's not going to kind of happen again. Ted, you liked the team and the quarterback with their bounce-back ability on Sunday. What did you see in that area?
Well, I saw a quarterback who started off 3 of 8, 16 yards, and a pick 6.
Yeah.
And then I saw a guy for the rest of the way out was the 4th-rated highest quarterback in the NFL in Week 12. He has an uncanny... I say uncanny. It's like no one else can do it. Brady had this. Manning had this. All the greats had it. Is the ability to come back from mistakes. I tell young players all the time, you want to have a job in this league for a long time, you forget your mistakes right away. I tell that to my son all the time. Do not dwell on your mistakes. That will bring you down fast. You know what? All the best players make mistakes, but they move on. That's and Drake has that ability, and it's... It's not me, really. It's not only Drake. I think it's kind of, but I also think the DNA of a team comes from the DNA of a quarterback, right? Tom
yep,
Brady
absolutely.
Was the main. Sorry, Belichick was way down on the list of what made that ecosystem go. It was Brady, and it all fell down to the players. I think the Drake having that in his DNA. I've always said this: Brady made us better on defense. Well, what do you mean? He plays quarterback. No. So we give up a touchdown on an opening drive, like this defense seems to do. Not this game, but you know what I mean. At least give up points on the first drive. 9 out of the 12 games they played? And they're like, you know what? We got Drake May. We're going to buckle down. You know, so what? So what? They got 7 points. So what? They got 3. Watch what our quarterback does. And that filters through the team. And so this team and the quarterback has this ability to bounce back from mistakes. They're down 10-0. No problem. They scored 17 unanswered.
Here's Drake's own words about facing a little early adversity and then bouncing back.
Yeah, I think the teammates around me do a great job. You use your teammates. You know, they're pumping me up, and just know what you practice for, what you work for, and trust in and what I do for a living. And I think that's really the end on. Just get ready for the next one. I think just get ready for the next one and realize that, you know, things like that happen in this league. And I told those guys on the sideline, it won't happen again, me throwing one like that to them, and it didn't. So
I love that.
I love that answer. What was the last part?
I won't throw one to them like that again.
Oh, that's it.
And it didn't. Like, it won't happen again, and it didn't. I love that little, and it didn't.
There's
like,
a couple things in there. I was telling Stiz to...
Just know what you practice for, what you work for, and trust in and what I do for a living. And
trust what I do for a living. That's not a cocky little... Yeah, I ain't worried about it. Y'all need to... My teammates shouldn't be worried about when I make a mistake, because I do this for a living.
At 23. He does it for... It's not like he's 41. You know, remember, Fitzy, you remember this. Remember Brady hit that drone for a beast video, and people were like, wow. And he's like, this is literally what I've done for my entire life. I throw a football accurately for a living. It's one thing at 40-something to have that cockiness, Fitzy. Yeah. To have that cockiness in the face of adults, in the face of veterans. Like, hey, Morgan That's Moses, right. I know you played for 30 That's years, right. but guess what? That ain't going to happen again. And it didn't. That, Fitzy, I think, is something special inside of Drake May.
Yeah, but he's also not just a kid who picked up this sport in high school, was told he was super good, got into college, and someone said, hey, wow, this kid's hyper-athletic. Let's take a chance on him as a project. His dad was a quarterback. He's grown up around the game. He's developed his own innate confidence over two-plus yeah. decades.
I think being
he's
the youngest of four, too, is part of it, too, Fitz.
Oh, yeah.
And also the fact that the brothers, like the fact that he's older than his years, he's 23 going on 45 or 55. He goes to bed way before I do. And he and his wife have a nice quiet life together. And then you add in the brothers always keeping him humble and beating him down and yeah. giving him the business. Yeah. When we asked him on Monday during the Drake May interview, Andy, like what his Thanksgiving tradition was, it was having his brothers whoop up on him during 1v1s in the backyard. Now everyone relax. He said, we can't do those anymore, obviously, because he can't afford to get injured. But everything around him has groomed him to be as confident and prepared, actually, as he is now.
Yeah, I think he even told us yeah. somewhere along the way that they wouldn't let him play quarterback early on.
Yeah.
Like when they did
yeah.
their brotherly
yeah,
crap.
Who's going to be, yeah, what do they call it? You say you're the all-time quarterback or whatever.
Oh, steady QB?
There was a term.
All-time.
When you're playing pickup games.
Yeah, steady QB. That's what we call it.
Okay,
I'm the steady QB. I play for both teams.
That's weird. That's Northeast. Wait,
you had a better one?
Yeah.
No, we always said, I didn't grow up far from Andy, Ted, and we always said all-time QB.
Boom, boom, shrimp. Boom, boom, shrimp?
That's like boom, boom, shrimp boom, is boom, what shrimp? That is. Yeah, boom, it's like boom, the Dartmouth area.
And boom, boom was right. It was boom, boom, shrimp, you jackals. Anyway.
Hey, real quick, Fitzy, you want to finish that point? Are you good? Are you good?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay, so a lot of things are coming to my head here.
I know, I love it.
Some people are out there listening to it. But similarities between Brady, you talk about profile and the way he was raised, grooming. What's the similar thing that Brady had that Drake May has?
Older siblings.
Oldest, the youngest of?
Four.
Youngest of four.
Yeah.
Brady's youngest of four.
Now, he was the youngest of four. The three sisters, right?
So you're saying the girls weren't competitive?
I'm just putting the details in there. Don't call me sexist on live radio.
I'll suggest it. I won't call you that. But youngest of four in a highly competitive family.
Yeah.
Look what the results are. Highly competitive, confident,
yep.
young quarterbacks. So that's if you want to raise a quarterback to be the best in the NFL, you better have four kids.
Ugh.
And
that was my mistake.
And better
came up
be,
too shy.
Yeah, you came up too shy. So did I. another thing is the only thing that would have made Brady coming back from 23 that would have been a better story is if he went around at halftime and told all the guys, don't worry, this is what I do for a living. That right. would have been bad.
Ted, we have some options to finish your point that no one cares about anymore except us in the text line. Automatic QB.
Automatic QB.
Designated QB.
Nope, auto. You're the automatic QB, I think.
Okay,
is it.
Automatic
yeah,
QB.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We did get a lot. That was the, there's probably, of the 15 texts, there's probably like 8 of them that are automatic QB.
Okay, I think automatic QB. So like you were, so you only play QB.
But they wouldn't let him do that until he earned that right. later on.
Right.
It wasn't just bestowed upon him, even though I'm guessing he threw the ball as well as any of them.
So
almost,
early right. on, entitlement was removed from the yeah. building where right. he grew up.
Let's mix in a phone call real quick because Ted, you had your little mini buy theory. David in the car wants to chime in on the mini buy theory, and was it a negative for the Patriots?
Hey, guys. Good evening. Thank you for taking the call. Yes, and Ted, this is why you're so good at this, man. You are so great at this, just like you were at football.
All right.
what he said, no, I'm being honest here, guys. I say it like I'll call it like I see it. And it is a concern that teams, this happens a lot with teams when they have a buy, and you see a result on this off a mini buy. Now, what does that mean when they came off their bye? I forget who they're going to play off their bye.
Yeah.
Is that a loss automatically? And then, if they do go all the way and they have a bye for the playoffs, is that going to hurt them? Because you do lose momentum when you're not playing every week. You do. It's good for the body. Don't get me wrong. But it does affect your mind setting, everything.
Thanks for the call, David.
Ted Johnson. I had no idea how intelligent he was.
Oh, wow. I played here for a long time. You know,
is that a backhanded compliment?
Middle linebacker in a Bill Belichick defense.
Right.
It's not easy. So
he's making calls. He's got not a green dot.
But there's it's something to it. You go, the body needs a break. You know, it's like, they don't hit in practice. They hardly hit in training camp. Is it really? it's not like it used to be when I played, but it's not as, you know, to say, oh, these guys need a break to help their bodies. Like, it's the game isn't like it used to be is all I'm trying to say. Their right. bodies aren't as beat up as they used to be back in the day.
And, David, you will not convince me that getting the number one seed and the bye is right. a negative thing.
I won't buy that either.
I won't. And you know, I thought he was going
to
go.
Your left tackle needs that extra week to maybe get back in the lineup.
Because the team that you're going to play in the division round just play the week before. That's your advantage.
Their toughest game of the season, theoretically. Right? It's a playoff game. Like, they had That's to. Right. play 60 minutes of football.
It's all on the line. You're going to get their best.
I'm also, David, not going to get worried if they go to the Super Bowl and there's a two-week build-up to the Super Bowl. So, damn, I just wish this game was a little quick. Nope, I'll take the 2 weeks build-up.
It's a two-week break for the other team, too.
Absolutely. So if you want to start prepping for Patriots-Rams, if they're the number one seeds and they get the bye and they take advantage, I love that matchup. 617-779-7937. Come up next here on WEEI Afternoons. It is Tuesday at 4:30. It's some of our favorite time of the week. Brian Hoyer, former Patriots quarterback, going to break down all things Drake May and the Patriots from that win that didn't feel great in Cincinnati on Sunday. That's up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on WEEI, back here on WEEI Afternoons, we go right to the guest line for one of our favorite chats every week. Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer.
It's called Appointment Radio.
Appointment Radio, Brian Hoyer, you've become here on WEEI Afternoons. How are we doing this week, Mr. Hoyer?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good. We were just talking about, and I want to start here. We talked to Drake May yesterday, and I don't know if you heard the interview or not, but he had a comment about the interception and telling the guys on the sideline that's not going to happen again, and it didn't. And the way he said that was like an air of not arrogance, but just internal confidence. He even referenced, this is what I do. I'm a professional. This is literally my job. That we were just talking about, if you're 35 years old, that's awesome. That's cool that you have that. If you're 23 years old, how do you have that already?
Yeah, it's been impressive. I mean, look, I would say this season so far, that first quarter was probably about as bad as we've seen Drake play. I mean, there were certain throws where I kind of sat there and this is where I've gotten to. I'm sitting there with my wife and son and I'm like, God, something's off. And my wife's like, oh, leave him alone. He'll be fine. I'm like, you know what? She's right. We've just come to expect such a high level of play that there was one pass where it looked like he was trying to throw like an under route to Hunter Henry, but there was a back in the same area and he kind of like changed his mind up mid throw and it just went to no one. And I was like, man, we haven't seen a play like that from Drake in a long time. And then obviously the pick, and then, you know, to hear his confidence and not just him saying it and doing it, but some of the throws he made after that poor first quarter performance. Like to me, the one up the middle to Pop Douglas against Tampa, throwing it around the Mike linebacker. Like I've been in games as a quarterback where I've struggled and not gotten off to a good start, and that's not a throw that you want to be attempting to make when things haven't been going well. And it's just amazing to me how he weathers the storm and just has that internal confidence. It's a great thing for him to have, and it's great when you can go to the guys and say, hey, fellas, my bad, it ain't gonna happen again, and then you go back it up, because that's like that's when the folklore of a player starts to grow, right? He's 23 years old, he understands he made a mistake, he goes, listen, fellas, that's on me, it ain't gonna happen again, and then he goes out and throws for a career high. Now he still hasn't gotten that 300 yards, I thought he would this past week, but turned it around pretty quickly.
You know, yeah, Brian, that throw versus cover two over the linebackers in front of the safety, boy, you don't want to mess. If you're going to make that throw, you better be pretty confident you can get in there for sure. But let me ask you about the just the injuries. I mean, you're out there, you're the quarterback, and then your left tackle and your left guard go out with injuries. What are you thinking at that point? And then also just what do you think Josh McDaniels will do to negate maybe – those guys being out moving forward?
Well, I think first and foremost within the game as a quarterback, you realize, okay, I'm not going to hold the ball any longer. Right. And that's a normal reaction. And I think the one thing I would say, and you know, we've talked about it. I've played for a lot of great coordinators. I've been high on Josh. And the one reason I would say this is where you're thankful you have an experienced offensive coordinator who can be creative with the game plan moving forward, because let's just say, for instance, you know, the Patriots did what a lot of people wanted. Let's go get a young, hot name that's from the West Coast system. And that could have been great. But now you're into the point in the season where guys are getting injured. And Josh has done this so many times before and has the experience of figuring out how to navigate around injuries or maybe where you could be a little shorthanded. And so, look, next week's game makes me a little nervous, because you're going against a Giants team. They have nothing to lose. They just fired their defensive coordinator. It's a Monday night national game. This guy who's the interim D coordinator is going to want to come in and make a splash, make a name for himself. And they have some, let's just call it, great elite talent on the front four of the Giants team. And so to me, what Josh is going to do this week is understand, look, we got a new combination of guys playing on the left side. They've got some good pass rushers. We have to be ready for some things that they have up their sleeve, try to make a name for themselves. We're going to focus on the quick pass game this week. Drake, you know, when I call these certain plays, the ball's got to come out of your hands in under 2.5 seconds, okay? When I see that some of their pass rushers are out, we'll get to the shot plays. But having a coordinator with that experience and realizing I'm not just going to go call plays next Monday night against this defense with some of our guys down, I have to be very mindful of how I put the game plan together and how I call the game on Monday night. And so that's where you got to be thankful that you have an experienced guy who's been through the fire in a lot of different situations.
Look, Brian, the team has obviously checked off so many boxes and passed so many tests this year, but I'm trying to look at it in a positive way, as in, hey, maybe this is a nice little bit of battle testing, metal testing, and adversity that they need to go through to kind of really come together over the final stretch of the season and get ready for the playoffs. What do you say to the idea of a little adversity being a good thing to go through before you get to the games that really count?
Yeah, I mean, look, the NFL adversity is coming at some point or another. And I would say, you know, we do our podcast and our producer, Danny, is like a legit hardcore fan. He's like, I actually think it'd be good if they lose a few games before they get to the playoffs. David Andrews and I just laugh. We're like, dude, when you lose those games, I don't like it sucks. And in hindsight, like in 2018, we lost to the Steelers and the Dolphins. And those were some tough moments in that season. It did help us build resiliency, but like, I'm not going back and be like, yeah, I'm glad we lost those games. No, that's not what it is. And so if anything, I'd rather have them face some adversity while they keep winning games and understanding. And the one thing I would say, you know, you saw the post game locker room. It wasn't as joyful and exciting as we've seen after some of the other wins. And I think it's a realization like, man, we took some tough injuries. We battled. We didn't play as good as we wanted to. And so to me, that's a team that's locked in. They realize if they play that way come January, they're going to be going home. And so I think it's great that they're learning some of those how to handle some of that adversity as they win, because each win, you know, puts them in a better position for letting these guys rest a little bit longer, right? Letting them be ready for the playoffs. So I like where they're at. And ultimately, this always goes back to the culture that Vrabel has brought in and the guys buying in and realizing the stakes get bigger now, right? And so losing Campbell, losing Wilson, you know, things, we obviously Milton Williams the week before, like, they're lucky they've put themselves in the position where they're in a good spot right now, and they can afford to let those guys properly heal, knowing that they're going to be playing in the playoffs.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, I want to circle back around to the slow start, because if there's one negative that has been even close to consistent with Drake May, it's been starts to games. Even going back to the preseason, I remember people talking about high throws. Does he get too jittery? And some of it we attributed to rain in Tampa. Have you seen anything technically that he does differently early in games that maybe lead to some of these slow starts? Anything you can put your finger on as to why the one downside of his game is he starts a little slow sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, not technique-wise. I think, you know, there's not anything that I see that, like, all of a sudden he magically fixes on the second or third drive of the game. I just, this game to me, and Ted, you've been in those games where you go, you're playing in Cincinnati, they're not very good, the fans aren't really, there's no energy in the building, and yep. All of a sudden you get lulled to sleep. We've all done it, no matter how good you are. I saw it happen with Tom Brady down in Jacksonville a few years ago. Like, it's just one of those things, and like, you got to bring your own juice, and all of a sudden, bam, it's, you know, you're down 10-0, and it's like, man, we better wake up. And yeah. You know, he was able to do that. You don't want to obviously establish that type of pattern. I think sometimes, look, we've talked about the defense having a hard time stopping the opening script. Mm-hmm. The one thing about Josh and the way he calls plays, this is not a script offense. Okay. He doesn't want to be locked into the first 15 plays because you have to make adjustments, and he doesn't want to be, you know, sitting there in front of the team and they're like, well, you said play six was going to be this play.
Right.
And all of a sudden the situation doesn't dictate it. I actually always preferred to have openers, which is like opener passes, opener runs, as opposed to being locked in to a first 15, because you don't know, you may call a run on second and 10 on the second play of the game thinking you're going to get six, and all of a sudden it goes for a loss of two, and now you're totally thrown off track. So I think they need to do a better job of executing early on. I don't think it's anything technical. You know, get the running game going a little bit earlier, or start with a few quick passes. I one of the games that I think back to where they started fast, against Miami, they had Drake on the move early. Like, get him out in the pocket, let him get comfortable, and let him get a few completions under his belt, because you know that at some point he's going to pick up, especially hitting some of those deeper throws.
You hear all that?
I did.
That's good stuff, man.
That's why we have him
dang,
on.
Dang, dude. All
you
right.
Didn't say that in TED Talk. I needed to get a quarterback's perspective.
You know what? I should have, dang it. I said it on the breakdown last night, though, Brian. And thanks for your help, by the way, with those plays. Gosh. I want to go to the defensive side, and I want to talk about Christian Gonzalez a little bit. You know, the fourth receiver comes in and beats Christian for a fade, which to me, I don't know. Like, I mean, he's press coverage. I thought he was a little bit laxed on that coverage to T. Higgins before the half. He gave up kind of a soft 16-yarder where he got him into field goal range. I thought the week before he was a little casual covering, you know, Mitchell there for the Jets. I don't know. What are you seeing from him, Christian Gonzalez? And then, you know, that play that he gave up in the third quarter to their four-string wide receiver, like, just that's unacceptable, right? I mean, you expect more from that guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of lulling yourself to sleep, so to speak. You don't want to play down to the guy you're covering, right? So Jamar Chase doesn't play, and it wasn't like he was matching T. Higgins all over the field.
Right.
And so all of a sudden you're playing some guy, you know, you don't really know a lot about him. And the one thing about Flacco is going to throw the ball around and give people a chance. So I think it almost kind of caught him by surprise. And I think the one thing you'll see going forward is, I don't care who I'm covering, I got to bring my A game, because in the event that someone, I think he was actually shocked that Flacco was even attempting the ball on him with a guy who wasn't T. Higgins or Jamar Chase.
That's the way he played it. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, look, I'm not a defensive player, but when you're a great corner, I think it's sometimes you can almost, you know, I know it happened with Steph Gilmore a lot. Like, hey, they ain't even going to throw the ball over this way. Well, you get a certain quarterback who, you know, Joe Cool over there, I mean, dislocates his finger, just lifts his hand up and is like, hey, fix this, and goes back in the game. Like, he doesn't really care. And so he's letting it fly out there. And so I think that's it's one of those things like, hey, don't just assume that because I'm a top corner and this isn't one of their best receivers, I can take a play off, because that's when it can come back to bite you.
I heard you say earlier, Brian, that Monday night's game actually puts a little scared in you because the Giants kind of playing with house money, 2-10, you know, wounded animal, Jameis Winston, God knows what he's going to do. I'm kind of with you on that one, in so much as like this team has, and you got coordinators that have a lot to prove, like they have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. And once again, the Patriots have a little more time to prepare. Plus they're a little dinged up themselves.
No, no doubt about it. And look, I'm going to steal a line from Bill that he used a lot. Like, they're not a bad team. They have a bad record, and it's been a very tumultuous year for them. Obviously, you fire the coach. You have you inject Jackson Dart into the starting lineup. He plays really well. Scadaboo plays really well. And I was actually watching that game when Scadaboo got hurt against the Eagles, and you could see the energy just sucked out of that team. It's you're not used to seeing two rookies just come in and inject some life to this team. They've lost a lot of games at the end of games, so I don't think their record is indicative of who they are. And then you get to you got a bunch of guys who, as far as the coaches, they don't think that they're going to be back. Like, they have nothing to lose. Let's go out. You saw it last week. They run the trick play with our old buddy Gunnar Olszewski, throws a dime to Jameis, and Jameis breaks a tackle and scores a touchdown. Like, that's the type of stuff in a game like this you have to be worried about. So your head has to be on a swivel. And ultimately, you don't want to give them any life. You don't want them to come in here and be up 10-0 and be out there and being like, hey, this is great. We're beating them. They're 10-2. We got nothing to lose. Like, let's keep throwing it at them, as opposed to if you go out there and take their will early. I've been on teams in that scenario, fire coach, nothing to lose. And all of a sudden you're down and you're like, all right, let's just stay healthy because we got free agency coming up. Or, you know, what vacation am I going to be taking in about a month and going to Mexico? Like, that's the reality of the NFL. And so this is a week of all the weeks where you cannot start slow, or else you're going to find yourself in a dogfight. As I mentioned, you got great players. I mean, we don't even know if Jackson Dart's back. Now all of a sudden you got to worry about the quarterback running game. No other quarterback with more design runs this year than Jackson Dart. And so that adds another element to your defense that you have to defend. And they didn't do a great job when Justin Fields was in here a few weeks ago. So it's a very intriguing matchup. And I think the best thing that they can do is go out and start fast. If there's ever a game to do it, it's this one.
Yeah. Brian, you got me officially scared poopless, man. That's you make excellent points. Those are all valid. Excellent points. Last question for us, Brian. I'm curious about Matthew Stafford. He's on fire right now. It's pretty amazing how he's playing 17 years into this game. It's amazing. He has, I think, 8 touchdown passes from like the 3-yard line in, and then 6 of them are from the 1 yard. So he's got all these touchdowns. Which, you know, and I'm just kind of comparing this to the MVP race with Drake May. Are you impressed, just, I guess, with what Matthew Stafford is doing in general, but also, is it more impressive or less impressive that he's got all these touchdowns from the 3-yard line in?
Well, you know, especially with the struggles and the Patriots had down there in the low goal line area, what the Rams have done a lot, because they have these elite receivers, they'll get in like that goal line package, but they'll have Devontae split out and they call a run play. And they basically tell Stafford, like, look, if they only single Devontae, you have the green light to throw it. So he's had a lot of those where they're actually called runs. And it's kind of a weird backwards version of an RPO, and not like in the way that you see in college in the shotgun. It's like, you know, run left, but Devontae's one-on-one, go ahead and throw. He had one this weekend. It was incredible. No, I mean, Stafford is playing at just another level. And as much as I want Drake May to be in that MVP talk, right now Stafford is just pulling away. And I think that's a culmination of him having now been with Sean McVay for 5 years, having a lot of input on the offense, and then just pairing it with great skill players, right? They go out and get Devontae. And I thought that was a great addition, because in a weird way, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are very similar type of players. Now you add Devontae, who's more of a vertical threat, a guy who's very different than Puka, and McVay just does a tremendous job of game planning it. Their running game is really well. They're getting 13 personnel, and they throw defenses off, and Ryan Wendell, former Patriot, is doing a tremendous job coaching their offensive line. They're just firing on all cylinders, and then they have a young defense who's playing lights out as well. And so, look, I'm hoping for another Patriots-Rams rematch in the Super Bowl. Obviously,
love
you were
it.
A part of one, Ted.
Yeah.
I was a part of one. Yeah. And it would be great to start off the new Patriots dynasty the way the old one kind of ended, beating the Rams in the Super Bowl. So fingers crossed. I would love to see that matchup.
Mic drop.
Absolutely. And we do need to apologize because we busted your chops for not knowing you couldn't say the S word on the radio. Apparently, we also have to warn the head coach because I'm sure you saw his press conference. He used the S word in his first answer, Brian. So you're not the only one, Brian.
For impact.
You football know? Guys yeah. like to use the S word, apparently.
Potty
in public.
Mouths, all
Potty
of
mouths. Yeah. All you. But,
hard to get out of the locker room mentality, right?
That's it, buddy.
All right, Brian, have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the weekend. Yeah. Monday Night Football. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, bud.
All right, you too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Brian. That's former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. If you were listening, yes, he just said start off the new dynasty with a Rams Super Bowl.
He did
interesting. A lot of good stuff from Brian Hoyer. We're a bit behind, so quick break. We'll recap what he said, a little T. Higgins nugget, and then we'll be back here with the drive, top of the hour, all here on WWE.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
PEI.
Hello, made of concrete. Oh, yeah.
Okay, no time for singing. Right to the calls. 617-779-7937. Let's go down to my neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Ted, no time for singing.
All right.
Jesse in New Bedford. What's right. up, Jesse?
Pot it down.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
Good.
What's going on? Hey, I wanted to say something quick about Drake May and Dennis, that QB talk. You guys are right. It's all-time QB, steady
That's
QB,
it.
And permanent QB.
All-time QB. But, that's it.
Thank you.
But you, all-time. Yeah, but, hey, but no, but you guys missed one, and it's the one I used to use when I was a kid. Designated QB.
Yeah.
See, I think
that's
it's like
Andy
regional
said.
Or
it's,
local.
It's not automatic QB. It's all-time QB. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Designated
At least
survivor.
Thank you, Jesse.
California.
For clarifying that.
And,
yeah.
And I just want to mention about Drake May. Listen.
Day two.
What's going to make this guy great is what Tom Brady had and all the great ones have. Yeah, he's 6'6 and 220 and he has a strong arm and he can run. Yeah, that's. I'm not saying you don't need that. You do. Well, what makes somebody great is what you guys touched on earlier, his makeup, his mentality, his work.
Good call, Jesse.
Hey, that was going good there, Jesse.
Yep. You were rolling. Comfortable like Vrabel.
Can I ask this one question? And we're getting to you, Steve and Josh. One question is, did any of us see this last year? Like
no.
Even a hint of it?
No, they complained that he was too deferential
right.
to Jacoby Brissett.
That's what I'm just kind of... Wow, this is
or
this is what I wanted to see a little bit last year. I never saw it,
but maybe this was how it was supposed to be.
No, you're
like,
right.
Maybe he knew, you know what I mean? Like, he's showing that he's pretty damn good at everything.
Right.
Leadership, veterans, young players.
And you can see it, it started out, he was the backup.
He handled it his way, and maybe his way was the right way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got to,
as long as we see it now.
We got to greatness faster than we ever could have expected. So it's hard to question his path to greatness.
I'm not going
to
question. Right? Just curious. That's
all right, let's go to Josh in Rhode Island. What's up, Josh?
Hey, fellas, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, so just hear me out. You guys already kind of alluded to this possibility, and I really want to get your thoughts on this. If we get Stafford and May up for MVP the week before the Super Bowl, and we're just so lucky to get Stafford, the Patriots, and the Rams in the Super Bowl, how do you think it will affect the winner or loser, right, of the MVP? Essentially, would you rather Drake would rather get the MVP and not the Super Bowl? I imagine he'd rather get the Super Bowl.
Yes.
How do you think that would play out? Stafford wins the MVP. Does that, you give the edge to Drake in the Super Bowl?
Thanks for the call, Josh.
I love this because people are going to get educated on this, and Josh is too, it sounds like. Do you guys know what the answer to each of this?
Well, I mean, my answer is I want to win both.
Well, hold on. Okay, besides that, it's the MVP only counts the regular season.
Correct.
So what he does in the playoffs and Super Bowl is not in, right. does not impact his MVP. So
the votes are tallied after week 17.
So I don't know if people know 18. That.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really a regular season award. It's not a playoff award.
There's also a lot of people that believed you couldn't win the MVP and the Super Bowl. It went like 20 years where the MVP didn't win the Super Bowl. They were in it a lot, but they kept losing. The MVPs kept losing.
I don't know. Do they announce the MVP before
yes,
the Super Bowl?
They do. The awards.
Okay,
honors.
At the awards maker. There you go. Right, right.
But I'm
which
greedy,
is the weekend
so I'll take
before.
Both.
Which is the weekend before.
It's the week of. Yeah, it's
before.
Oh, it's
before. Like the night before.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
yeah. It's the week before. Is it
the
Thursday
week before.
Night?
It's the week before. It's the weekend, the Saturday
it's
night
the
before.
It's the Thursday before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the honors Thursday. But I'm greedy. I don't believe in superstitions and all that crap, so I want Drake May to win the MVP and then win the Super Bowl.
No, but you had to pick one. It's not even close. Not
the
even
Super Bowl.
Close.
And I think
it's,
he would take the Super Bowl,
he would take
Bowl
it.
Too.
And
I'm sure Tom Brady would trade his 2017 MVP for Nick Foles' Super Bowl title.
Such a good point, Fitzy. But so, Josh, my man, it's. I don't think he'd even hesitate. You asked that question.
No, I do not think he would hesitate at all. Up next here on WEEI, Steve, hang on. We see your others out there lined up to talk about this Red Sox trade, Sonny Gray. We're going to lead off the drive with Sonny Gray. Big deal? Or is this just the first of many deals to come for Brezbot, Breslow this offseason? The Drive, some Sox talk, and the Patriots next here on WEEI.
10-2!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too!
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.